Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go! Our today's topic is the impact of music on mental and physical health. Music and dance can enhance intelligence and focus, improve mental health, and boost the immune system, as well as self-esteem and confidence. It can be used to relax, to boost and lift our mood, or to improve concentration. Music can also be used to aid in insomnia, helping to encourage and induce a deeper sleep. Listening to and playing music can also lower the level of cortisol, the stress hormone. Today, we have with us singer, rapper, dancer, Nana from group called Crossfire. Crossfire is essential and to be able to change through a relationship with Jesus. Crossfire love putting on a great show at large events and keep themselves reachable by connecting with young people in more grassroots environments. Nana, welcome to the show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
Good morning. Hello, how are we?
I'm very good, thank you. Good.
Amazing. Thank you so much for making your time, you know, in the making, process in the making, I understand. But thank you for being here. And I think, you know, we're going to have some good conversation about probably I think what you love the most, which is your music, your dance, your creativity.
Yep.
So tell us more about yourself, like who are you, introduce yourself, introduce your band, your agenda.
Okay, cool. So my name's Nana. I'm part of a group called Crossfire, and our band is sponsored by a Christian charity. So basically, we use our music to inspire, to motivate, to reach young people. We come from, obviously, the perspective of Christianity. So as a group, we're trying to introduce people into the gospel, into what it is to be a Christian, how it can affect your life, all that kind of stuff. But we also use our music to be able to just be able to help people in general. So if you listen to our music, you'll normally hear two kind of angles. So one angle is just just positive music, uplifting, some kind of message. And then we have some songs which have more of a gospel kind of background to it, so directly sing about God and how we feel, talking about our relationships, things we go through. So we release music videos, we release songs and stuff on Spotify. Before the pandemic, we did a lot of tours in Europe, traveling up and down in Europe and performing. Our performances are very high energy, lots of jumping around. And our style of music is just current. So we do anything from hip hop to trap to Afrobeat. We've done a reggaeton track. We just do whatever inspires us, you know. You just hear a track and you just want to write, become creative to it. So that's basically us.
Yeah, and you can actually sing, because I've listened to some of your tracks and I was like, okay, he raps, but he also sings. So I think it's a great, because, well, you know, sadly to say that, but these days, if you have a good rapper, majority of them don't sing, and all the way around.
Yeah.
It's refreshing to kind of hear you throwing your lines out there and also like having some nice vocals in the air.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I was a singer first, and it's only the last couple of years that I've started doing a lot more rap stuff, just because I felt like when you're talking about certain things, I feel like sometimes when you rap it, you can fit a lot more words and you can say a lot more. But now I'm in a transition of going back to doing a lot more singing stuff, because I had to just take some time out to focus on getting my own rap style right. Do you know what I mean? Like developing how I flow, developing how I sound. I'm not trying to sound like anybody, but just making sure that my rap style is on point. And then now I'm going to start going back to doing a lot more kind of singing stuff. But then I'm lucky, I can go between the two, you know. So yeah, thank you for that.
You're already a very creative person. You dance, you teach, you have your music. So when that idea, when did it all started?
From a kid, I always loved music. Obviously, Michael Jackson was a big inspiration to me as a kid growing up. Like, he was singing and dancing and doing everything. So I'd always be trying to do my little MJ moves, or just trying to watch the moves that he was doing and try and copy. But when it came to singing, I never really wanted to be a singer. It was only when I hit 15 that there was a youth club in my area and they had a recording studio. So I went in there because I wanted to learn how to produce beats, how to make music. And I made this instrumental, but we had no one to perform in it. So the guy said, why don't you just do it? So I said, yeah, I might as well. So I just wrote something, came up with like this really basic song. We recorded it and I played it to my friends and they were like, wow, this is so dope. Like, can we jump on it as well? So the week after, we went back and I went on it and a few of my friends wrote little bars and we all jumped on it. And then from then, I just fell in love with that feeling I got from creating something and seeing other people appreciate it. So I just kept making music and got more involved in it. And over time, I went to the Academy of Contemporary Music in Guildford and I did a singing course there. And in the background, I was doing my dance stuff. So dance was something which was very natural. I did a lot of hip-hop freestyle back in those days. I was training with B-boys. But dance was always something I did for fun. Does that make sense? Like, it was just something I had to do. Like, you go out to a nightclub, you're dancing with all the other dancers. That was kind of my life. So it's not too later on that I actually made the transition into making dance like my full-time job while I was trying to chase the singing career.
So, you know, talking about your dance and talking about your music and creativity and church, why that connection? Where did it come from again?
I think there was a church that I was going to when I was about 18, 19. And there was a rap group called 29th Chapter. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to come and choreograph some stuff for them for their live performance. So they were a bit older, and they were already doing bits within the Christian industry. So I was helping them choreograph some bits, and then they wanted to do some stuff with kids. So they asked me if I could come and run some workshops with them when they went and did some of their tours at some of these big Christian festivals. So I would go with them while they're doing performances. Like, I'd go on, do a bit of a freestyle, and then during the day I'd be running workshops for the young people at the festival. So that's why I got that kind of connection with that. And then later on down the line, when I started doing a lot more music, I guess it just all linked up. I got asked to join a band called the LZ7 in Manchester, which are pretty well known in the Christian industry. And I was with them for about 8 months, and they toured all over the UK. They toured all over Europe. They got a song into the charts. I think it got to like number 23. Back in 2011, something like that. And from that, for me, it was like I could share my faith. I could do music. And on the side, I could always do dance projects attached to it. So it just all made sense. Basically, my love for music literally connected all these different areas of my life.
And then what is in you, or what is that keeps you going to art, to dance? Is that something that came from your family? Do you have a background where, you know, your parents are very artistic, or that just grew in you as a kid?
No, I don't think I got it from my family. I just think it was something that was in me. It was something that I found from young, was a love for music. And from that love, that passion, I found the dance, I found the singing. And everything I do as a person is always going to come from a Christian perspective anyway. It's like, it's the biggest influence I have in my life, of my decision-making and the way that I live my life. So everything I do is always going to come from that kind of point of view. So I think it was easy to be able to connect all three of those things, because all three of those things were already part of me. So I was just being myself. So I don't think I got it from my parents or anything like that. I just feel like the environments that I grew up in, I was surrounded by a lot of people who were creative in some way. More so when I got to college, because obviously I did a performing arts course, and I was surrounded by loads of creatives. So you just get loads more ideas, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to you to be creative and spread that creativity, that love for art?
I think it's, when it comes to creativity, I think for creatives, it's like breathing. It's something you have to do, and you do it without even thinking about it. Like, I think if you're creative, you have to be creative. It's just something that you do. And it's pretty deep sometimes, because sometimes you create these things, and you're like, where did that come from? Where did that inspiration come from? And you just do it. Like, it's, I guess, there's been times when I've choreographed a routine, and I've just done it like that, easy. Like, and you're like, the moves are just coming to you, you know? That's the same with songs. Like, with some songs, there's times when I hear a beat and I'm just writing the words, and you're like, where's this all coming from? Sorry, my throat's been croaky this morning. And it's just coming to you, and you're just doing it as easy as breathing. Obviously, there's other times when you're trying to be creative and you've got like a creative block. Do you know what I mean? And that can be really frustrating.
Yeah, does it come to you sometimes when I create my dance pieces? It's like, oh God, I don't know what move. Like, I feel like I'm repetitive. Sometimes there are days when, how to say it, I love, perhaps we from similar background, I love freestyling. I love just to do it on the spot, what is in me right now. When it comes sometimes to choreographing, I found it pretty challenging, because I feel, now I need to prepare something. So it doesn't come straight from the God, there's something from inside of me. So sometimes I find it very challenging to sit in the studio and, I don't know, perhaps listen to the lyrics, to the beat, and be like, okay, now we're going to do this, now we're going to do that. So I have to sometimes record myself to remember it, because my memories, it's not like it's bad, but because I'm so used to being in the moment.
Yeah.
How does it work for you?
Oh, man, it's exactly the same. Like, there's times when I'm choreographing, as I said to you, and it's just like that. And there's times when I'm choreographing and my brain can't pull out certain moves, or I'm choreographing something and I'm just like, I don't like it. Like, this is rubbish. And the same thing as you, like, I feel like I'm repeating. This routine feels like that routine, or I've already used that move 800 times. I don't want to use that move anymore. And what I find is actually when you start to overthink is when you start blocking your own creativity. And your creative flows best when you allow it just to manifest and come out. So I think the thing with choreographing sometimes for, like, you know, you've got a class coming up or something like that, it's like you're putting your creativity under pressure and you're having this expectation of it. And sometimes I find when I push my creativity, I actually turn it off. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes I'm trying to create something and I'm trying to create something on this standard. But that pressure I'm putting on myself is actually making me panic. It's making me overthink. And then you get caught up in the land of what ifs. Oh, what if they don't like it? What if it's not advanced enough? Or what if it's too hard? And that puts like a negative spin on what you're trying to do. So for me, normally at that point, I have to stop. I have to walk away. And then I have to come back to it with a fresh outlook and just go for it, because a lot of the time it's your own self, you're battling yourself. Do you know what I mean? Because you're telling yourself it's not good enough, or I should have used this move. Well, actually, you're catering for somebody else who might interpret completely different. They're just happy to be dancing, you know. So as long as you just have the vibe, you'll be fine. So yeah, that's basically me.
So when you create your music or your dance, do you feel like you're somewhere else, like you're meditating? Do you feel like you're in a different world? And if that's the feeling, how does it feel to be in that different world?
Yeah, well, do you know what? It's a really deep thing, because they say that while you're awake, there's studies which basically say that while you're awake, your mind wanders 47% of the time. So you're focused on something, your brain goes somewhere else. But I find that when I'm being creative, it's the only time that my brain is focused on the thing that I'm doing right there and then. Like, I have full attention. It's like the rest of the world disappears and your only focus is, I need to finish this piece that I'm trying to create, whether it's a song or a dance routine. It's like a zone. You kind of hit this zone, especially when you're feeling what you're creating and it's running smoothly, and you're dancing out in the studio, like, yeah, this is going to be dope. And you filmed yourself or whatnot, and you're like, yeah, this is sick. Or I've written a song and I'm vibing to it in my house, and I'm just like, yo, this is going to be dope. I can't wait to hit the studio and record this. I can start doing these harmonies. Like, it's literally like everything else disappears. And the only thing you focus on is almost like this building block right in front of you that you just keep building on and building on. And it makes you happy. Do you know what I mean? There's like a level of happiness and contentment and joy and pleasure which comes out of creating something and then seeing it finished and being like, almost like really proud, So yeah, I definitely would say, like, you kind of go to this place where it's just you and the thing that you're creating.
That's one part, aspect of your work, and it's more of a self-expression and retrospective moment of our creativity. But now you teach also children, kids, youngsters. And how do you feel your work impacts, especially young generation, that, you know, they need a lot of leaders and idols and someone to be guided by because of times that we're facing right now. It's just, you know, a lot of, let's say, a lot of bad in this world is waiting for them. So how do you think your work impacts them, if that impacts them? And if you maybe have any examples where they come to you and say like, wow, I don't know, your music just spoke to me. Your dance just saved my life.
Yeah. So a little bit about me, which leads into that question, is when I grew up, I had a very tough time, had very strict parents. I was growing up in the British culture, where my parents were Ghanaian and teaching me things in African culture, and some things clashed. So certain freedoms that my friends had, I didn't have those freedoms. And yeah, it was really difficult for me. And now as an adult, I understand love language, but my parents' love language towards me back in those days, I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I just thought they're very strict. I didn't really think they cared for me. I thought they just wanted to use me as some kind of slave. Like, that was my mentality when I looked at how they treated me. And I could have become a very darker version of myself. But lucky enough, there were people, adults in my life, who showed me my value. He showed me that I had talents in areas that I didn't believe I had talents in. And they'd push me and they encourage me and they just try and keep me on this path. And one of the techniques that they used was to get me to use my skills and my talents as a young person to inspire other young people. So one of my teachers, because I was really good at basketball in school, when I was in year 10, he got me to do the basketball training for the year 7 and 8 girls. So I was like their coach, and he'd kind of overwatch me and stuff. So because I was in that position, I became like just like a mentor and someone to look up to. So it made me want to like be someone that they could look up to. So it made me fix up on my own behavior. So when I became a young adult into adulthood, I loved that feeling of actually other people helped me and I'm in the position to help other people. And that's how I got into it. So I've got a background of doing part-time youth work. I was a learning mentor for 2 years, and that was about working with young people in secondary schools who were underachieving, finding out why they were underachieving, and then working on a strategy to get them back to achieving. So sometimes it was little things like school wasn't a positive place for them. They were struggling meeting friends. Sometimes it was behavior problems. Sometimes it was like issues at home, so they didn't really want to come to school. So it was just being an adult in their life to help and motivate them and give them strategies and show them options. Mm-hmm. And through that, like, I remember some of those young people that I helped, when I saw them years later, would thank me. Mm-hmm. And be like, I thank you so much. I remember there was this guy called Charlie, and I saw him years later, and we were sitting on a train. And obviously he had grown up, he was a lot older, and he recognized me and we started talking, and he was just like, mate, like, I just want to say now that I thank you that you believed in me and that you tried to get me back on that path. And because of the work that you did later on, it made sense to me, you know? And I've had a few people like that, like even some of the young people that I taught years ago, because I started teaching quite young at like 17. Now they're older now and they've got their own dance schools. There's a guy called Josh, he has his own dance school. There's a guy called Ty, they have their own dance schools and they're teaching, and they call me up to say, oh, can you come and teach for us, all this kind of stuff. So I see the impact of being an adult who tried to help others and then seeing them grow and develop into amazing people who are now themselves trying to help young people. So, I think basically because I was lucky enough to have the right people in my life at the right time, that's one of the reasons why I give back. And obviously because of my faith as well, like my faith, being a Christian, it's about loving people. And sometimes loving people is serving people, if that makes sense. It's supporting them, it's helping them, showing them the different options, or just being someone who believes in them, you know? And I get a lot of that from my faith.
100%, I fully agree with you. When you have a gift like yourself, or perhaps myself, I would like to think about it this way as well. It's kind of like, I feel like it's kind of like a responsibility to give back.
Yes.
And if I struggled, why should they? So if I can do anything to ease the struggle of any young girl out there who would like to dance, or who is working on her self-esteem or need some form of guidance, I would love to be that person that they can turn to, because I did not have that person. So if I can give back, I would love to do that. So I look at things pretty much similar way as you do, which is sharing is caring, and
yeah,
spreading is some form of, I see it as my duty or responsibility, since I'm already in that position, or I see it this way. So yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to a little bit of, because the show is about mental and physical health as well. Do you think art, such as dance, music, has an influence on our mental and physical health? And if so, how?
Okay, so the way that creative express themselves is through their art. And if that art is taken away from them, you're also taking away parts of what makes them happy as people. Mm-hmm. So I've never really had issues with mental health until we hit the lockdowns in 2020. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I got a taste of having thoughts and feelings that I never personally thought that I would have. Because all of my music, I couldn't go studio, I couldn't perform, all of my dance classes were cancelled, all of my gigs were cancelled, and after like 6 months of not being able to do the things which I loved, it really affected my mental health, do you know what I mean? I felt like I was having thoughts like, what's my purpose? Like, what am I doing? Where am I going? So I think for a creative, when you remove those things from them, it can really affect them really bad. Like musicians, I heard some really sad stories about some musicians, some who committed suicide because there was no work, so they had no money coming in. They couldn't get support from the government. Mm-hmm. Like people who lost music businesses and stuff like that. So it really affected their mental health in a really, really kind of negative way. And also on the plus side of things, like when you are being creative, you are feeling your happiness. Do you know what I mean? When you're doing the thing which comes natural to you, you're feeling your happiness. Do you know what I mean? So when you're dancing, when you're singing, like you feel great, and that's always going to be good for your mental health. You have like a focus. And I think as human beings, we need a focus in life. We need a purpose. And without that, then you don't have hope. Do you know what I mean? And hope is a very powerful tool. Like without hope, there's been studies and stuff that people can lose the will to live. Do you know what I mean?
It's that the saying, I think, that we have back home and Christian community, that the hope dies last. Like it's the last thing that dies, and it's like, yes, necessity for living, like more even than perhaps love, because
yes,
that once the hope dies, it's like, what is out there? What's my purpose? And I think that,
yes, question
of your existence, especially when you're very sensitive and perhaps creative, and that's really a deep problem. And I will fully agree with you, and also connect and empathize with the lockdown situation, because that's just what just happened.
Yeah.
Like jobs are gone, no gyms, no nothing.
Oh, gosh.
I should have feed off, you know. It's like, because to give back, a lot of people won't understand that, especially the ones that have set jobs and they are in different form of sectors than we are. To give back, you have to receive. Whenever I teach, I need that energy from the room, from the people, to get something out of me. And it's not that I'm expecting you to be a hyper or cheer me up or be my fan. No, but the energy, just your presence, that you actually came and you're now with me in this room, and now I can give you something. It's a powerful thing. So when we didn't have that, and we had those online classes where it didn't work for me at all. I was like, I was doing this, don't take me wrong, because I felt like that's kind of my duty to my people, responsibility, and perhaps maybe I'm stronger than them, so let me uplift them. But it was a massive, massive thing, and it was a big struggle for me to get on that Zoom call and like, hey, let's go, it's all good, come on, 5, 6.
I felt that. I felt the exact same way. I did a couple of months of Zoom classes, and I just stopped because I was like, it's just not the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're around people, people have an energy, they have a spirit, they have an aura. Do you know what I mean? And when you're in your house with just yourself, like, it's just not the same, you know? And what you're saying is like that energy, like, you're all hearing the same music and feeling the same way, and you just can't get that from your house and everybody else is separated. You need people to be in that room because you're all feeding each other, you know? Mm-hmm. So I totally understand how you felt.
Yeah. So how would you describe our society today in terms of post-COVID, perhaps? Are they more relaxed, stressed, driven, frustrated? What's your observation of what's going on with our physical, mental health and in this world around?
I think people's general mental health has declined since the pandemic. And my personal thoughts and feeling on it is because of how it's been handled by the government and whatnot. I find that there's a lot of, they're using fear as a tool to be able to get their agenda. Mm-hmm. And when you use fear as a tool, it's going to mess up people's mental health. It's going to give people anxiety. It's going to make people become a lot more selfish and just want to do things for themselves. It's going to turn people against each other. And that's what I'm seeing in terms of the negative implications of what's happened because of the pandemic. There's been a few positives, like I've spoken to a few people, and it's like, well, because certain things were taken away from them, now they have the opportunity to do that. They look at life differently. Now they really appreciate the freedoms and the things that they're able to do. And now they want to live life more to the full. They want to live life to the max now. They want to go out and experience things. They want to take chances and they want to give things a go, you know? So now they have like this reset to really live life. And that's how I felt when I came out of the lockdown. I was like, you know what? I'm making a bucket list. I'm going to write down things I want to do and I'm going to start trying to do them. And I'm going to enjoy this thing that I had and took for granted. And now I just have this new energy to drive and work harder and spend time with friends and family. So now it's like, I realized from the lockdown that I don't need to go to a club to spend time with someone. We can meet up and have a coffee. I can just go to their house and sit. Like, we can go for a walk. Like, you don't need a lot to spend time with someone. So for me, coming out of that, it's like, well, actually, do you know what? I'm really going to try and be a better friend. I'm going to be a better brother or a family member or whatnot, because those things are more important. Do you know what I mean? I think you definitely learn about what things are really important to you, mm-hmm. and what you really should be investing into, you know? So, I mean, I'm hoping things get better, but I think the way the government's moving right now is an absolute madness. And I think things are going to get worse before they're going to get better. So that's why I think at this position, as creatives, as people who have the energy to drive to help others, it's a really important time for us to do as much as we can to uplift and motivate the people around them and get people to keep a positive mind, to keep that hope, which we're talking about. I think when people look at dance, it makes them feel a certain way, you know? When people hear good music it makes them feel a certain way. So I think now's the time where creatives really need to be creative, because the work that we do is so important in helping people with their mental health, because we're helping them to feel good. We're helping them with the words that we say, we're giving them hope.
I agree. So what's next for you, for your band? What's coming up in 4 months?
So
find you, listen to your creativity, your music. Promote yourself. Now is your 5 minutes time.
Next for the band is we are currently working on an EP that we want to release next year. On social media, I'm doing something called 1 Minute Vibes, which you can check out, which is on my Instagram at the moment. They're going to be uploaded onto YouTube, which are like short songs with little music videos talking about different things. I've got a new track which has been edited at the moment, which is about discrimination, talking about it. So that's coming out. I've got another track called Don't Roll Like That, which is about like not rolling with people who do kind of like negative things. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like a the message in that is about kind of like if you're about guns, if you're about knives, like I'm not really about that life. So I'm not gonna be with you if that's how you're trying to go on. If you're about selling drugs and living that a certain lifestyle which comes of it, then I can't really be wrong with you. And that's my choice. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just gonna try and release as much music as I can. The partner in my group, a guy called Nat James, me and him have a gig on the 17th. So we're going to be filming that, hopefully putting that online. And I think next year it's about preparing for the summer, because we want to get out touring again. We want to get out performing again. So I think we'll be doing all the work to prep, getting ready for summer. So just be releasing a lot more music on our platforms.
Amazing. Sounds exciting. We're going to add all the social media and your website so people can see what you guys doing. Because we have pretty big audience over here, so I think it's good to spread the love and spread the knowledge, you know. But thank you so much for taking time. I think we covered a few great topics and subjects, and we covered pretty a lot of questions. I think it's very beneficial to talk about it, especially because we, again, close to Christmas time, the time when people think and, you know, get into their feelings. And unfortunately, towards the winter time, there's more depression, more suicidal thoughts. And I always want to make sure that we build awareness of what's happening to seek for help, and maybe how to find different ways of dealing with certain life situations, stress. And you know, we all humans, we all kind of have it. It's just, it depends how we deal with it. Some people deal with it better, some people worse. You know, I go into my sport, you go perhaps into your music, but you know, it's important for everyone to know that we're all in the same boat and we are kind of going through the same things. It's just in the different ways. So on that note, thank you so much again for taking your time and doing this for us and You Can Help Radio. And you know, I'm excited to see what's gonna happen next. I have you on my social media, so I'm checking your lyrics, your lines, and your vocals and your dance. Actually, I stole one of your songs. I love it. Good Samaritan, what was it? Good Samaritanian.
Oh,
choreo to that song. When I heard that song, the goosebumps.
I love that song. That song is such a vibe.
It's such
feeling a vibe. Feeling vibes,
own vibes. So good. Listen, I'm stealing it. I might do some choreo to that song. I don't know, but it's amazing. So yeah.
No, you have to. That's
I'm stalking you. So hey. Well, anyway,
brilliant.
The rest of your day, and thank you so much again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
And now it's time for our workout. But before we continue, here are some valuable information from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Alrighty, man, we're back. And now it's time for our workout. So today I have for you three different variations of mountain climbers. As you probably know, mountain climbers are very good for our core stability. It's a great functional movement that helps you to improve your fitness, your core work, your strength. So let me present you three different variations that we can do all together. So as you know, you start your mountain climbers from a plank position. So you're holding toe plank. You want to make sure that your belly button is tucked in. Engage your core, engage your glutes, engage your quads, hamstring, calf muscle, your back. Every single little muscle is engaged, all right? Chest forward. So you make sure that your bum is low, your hips are square, your shoulders are square. And you're driving your knees in a straight line towards your chest. Those knees should go as close to your chest as possible, but bum stays low all the time. So you might find it quite difficult with your feet. If your feet are touching the floor or you slightly sliding through the floor, that's okay. You can take your shoes off if you want to try at the beginning. All right, so you have variation number one where your knees are going forward. Number two, variation number two, you can go with your knees across, all right? So right knee goes to the left arm, left knee goes to the right arm. So you're basically doing like a zigzag cross line. You're engaging more of your obliques. So you go one to the side and to the side, exactly the same way, exactly the same speed as you did before. So try to go across. Try a few, maybe 10, maybe 20 on each leg. If that variation is not fully understandable, you can go on my YouTube channel, Fitness with NK, and look for a video where you have presented three different variations of mountain climbers. And variation number three, last one, I want you to try go with your knees out. So your knees are reaching or aiming for your triceps. Same knee, same side, same arm. So if it's a right knee, your right knee goes to your right arm, right elbow, right tricep, and try to go as close to that elbow as possible. And then the other side. This one you can at the beginning slow it down, so try to figure it out. So now, as you can see, we have three different variations. Knees going forward, so towards your chest, straight line forward. Try to do at least 20 in total. Variation number two, knees go across. So you go opposite knee to opposite elbow. And again, try at least 20, 10 on each side. That's already 40 in total. And last one, number three, knees going out. Same elbow reaches for the same arm, same elbow.
And again, try to do 10 on each side. In total, you should be able to do 60, all right? And in that one go, you are actually having some nice work done, all right? And you can try to do it 3 times in a row with slight 30 seconds break in between. Again, team, if that variation is not clear or if you don't know how to do exactly mountain climbers, please visit my YouTube channel, Fitness with NK, where you can find 3 different variations of mountain climbers. Well, I hope you enjoyed this different variation of mountain climbers, and on to the next one. Music is one of the most universal ways of expression and communication for humankind, and is present in everyday lives of people of all ages and from all cultures around the world. Listening to music, singing, playing, creating, exploring, composing, improvising, whether individually and collectively, are common activities for the vast majority of people. Music represents an enjoyable activity, but its influence goes beyond simple amusement. These activities not only allow the expression of personal inner state and feelings, but also can bring about many positive effects in those who engage in them. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as well as our short workout together. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on my Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message. And make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska.com, for more information. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.